Welcome to KUOW's Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this week's episode, the Sandbox Radio Troupe brings radio theater to life with their always original, often surprising work. Our presentation of their new and improved episode features unique works by writers Wayne Rowley, Scott Augustson, Juliette Waller-Prusan, Elizabeth Heffron, and special guest Willie Weir. So snuggle up with your beverage of choice and enjoy the fact that radio theater is alive and well in our fair city. Sandbox Radio is produced and directed by Leslie Law and Richard Zyman. New and Improved was performed at ACT Theater this past December 30th. Their next one-night-only show, In Like a Lion, is coming up on Monday, March 6th at Town Hall, Seattle. Thanks to the crew at Sandbox for our recording. And here we go.
Sandbox Radio.
Before that, I was at the Daily Sticky. And before that, I aggregated content for Hype Stank and reviewed mobile tech and streaming for Gizmodo, WizFreak, and FreakWiz.
Wow!
You've been at this a long time.
Yeah, 6 months. Going on 7. But trust me, Newzix.com is the place to be right now. We get more shares per impression on Facebook alone than all those other sites put together across all platforms, including WonkSnap and Plubby.
Gideon, have you seen Kate and Kate?
I think they're with Kate.
Are you coming? Zara wants everyone there.
Yep, we're on our way.
She said everyone. This is a big deal. Kate! Where's Kate and Kate?
Who is that?
Kate. West Coast Digital Innovation Editor. There are 7 Kates, and they're all in new media and West Coast Digital Innovation. Except Kate, who is our West Coast Digital Innovation Editor, East Coast. They all spell their names differently, so it doesn't get confusing. Are you nervous? Your first pitch meeting.
A little.
More excited than nervous.
What do you think, Yom? You ready?
I'm ready.
How about you, Jenny?
I'm ready, and it's pronounced Jenai, actually.
Jenai. OMG, I am so sorry.
Everyone does it wrong the first time.
No excuse. I'm an idiot.
No, don't worry about it.
After you?
Oh, I'd prefer not to subscribe to outdated gender roles dictating the order of doorway passage.
Apologies. Check yourself, Gideon.
It's okay. Allow me.
Hey, everyone. Can I get your attention, please? Eyeballs up front, please. For those of you I haven't personally met, I'm Zara, executive editor here at Newzix, the online journal of news, culture, identity, and ideas. Because it's not just the news.
It's the Newzix!
Awesome. I want to just take a quick minute to welcome a couple of new faces to the room. Yom, our new intern on the 5th floor. Hi and welcome.
Hi, Yom.
And our new content specialist for politics and culture, Jenai. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Please. Only my mother calls me ma'am. Ha, ha, ha. People, Our country's worst nightmare has come to pass. For over 3 whole years, we here at Musics.com have dedicated our professional lives to bringing the most important stories to eyeballs across the planet. But today, it's a whole new Game of Thrones. We can no longer hold anything back. We must meet this national tragedy with every weapon at our journalistic disposal. We have to fight with our minds, our hearts, and our convictions. We have to stand up to those who would run roughshod over our democracy and show them they cannot stamp out the progress we have made. That is why we are here. Not just click-throughs, not just shares, not just cost per impression ratios. We are here to shine light into the darkness, to bring power to task, to expose evil where it festers, and bring to justice the very people who would try to keep justice from us. We are the future, not only of journalism, but of this nation. And we will never stop. Who is with me? How about it, Janai? Why don't you kick us off?
I've been working on research for a two-part story that ties his flagrant tax evasion into his attempt to defraud the thousands who enrolled in his bogus university. I think that is a feature, but then we have to go after the money. A weekly, no, daily series on how the wealthy game the system so they can file bankruptcy after bankruptcy and still be rich, how they can run American industry into the ground, sending millions to food banks, sending thousands to their graves, and never have to pay a price for their actions. We profile these guys one by one until they are exposed.
Okay, Janai. I'm gonna come back to you, okay? Give you another shot after we've gone round a little bit, okay?
Starting?
Yes, Zara.
What you got?
Bar soap.
What's wrong with bar soap?
It's gross and people who use it are garbage people.
I like it. Give me 500 words and work in how it makes you throw up in your mouth just thinking about it.
Got it.
Gideon, got a headline for me?
The dark and sordid history behind America's obsession with cranberries.
Just in time for the holidays. I want 1,500 words by the end of tomorrow with photos of them floating in those bog things. Zoom in and desaturate a little so they look like they're ashamed of themselves.
Cranberries?
Who's next?
How the Rubik's Cube ruined a generation.
How?
It was too hard.
And?
So you pull the stickers off, basically making you a cheater for life. That stigma doesn't go away.
Bring it home.
It's a throwback to a nostalgic monochrome fantasy of something that you thought was fun, but it wasn't really fun because it was actually something bad that you didn't know about till now.
Nicely done, Ian.
Ian.
Ian. 750 words. These are all good ideas, people, but I need something that is going to disrupt people's daily lives.
The new president's cabinet is going to have the most combined wealth of any administration in the history of the office.
Cass, what are you working on?
I have finally convinced a couple of my sources to go on record.
Let's hear it.
Socks with Crocs.
Oh, here we go.
It's an abomination.
Still banging this old drum, are we?
Wearing black or blue socks with injection-molded foam resin footwear is an affront to every single one of us. These dads, and let's just face it, it is dads we are talking about here. These same dads who walk around the house all Saturday morning wearing cargo shorts and calf-length cotton tube socks pushed down to the ankles with their camo-patterned squishy slip-ons, climb into bed on Saturday night, slide over to the middle, nestle into the big spoon, and petition for a little something-something from their wives? What is up with that?
Not all dads.
Oh, please.
I'm just saying.
Really, Bill, are you really going there?
I'm just saying not all dads wear Crocs with socks.
Stop trying to control the Croc narrative.
Stop trying to shame people over things they honestly can't do anything about.
Okay, you two.
They can take off their socks, Bill. They can take off their damn socks.
Bill.
Then their feet get sweaty. Can I just explain something to you? They get sweaty feet.
This is what I'm talking about, Zara. This is the problem.
Bill, while we know that not every dad wears Crocs with socks, we also know that everybody who wears Crocs with socks is a dad, okay?
Thank you.
Right now, all you are doing is derailing discussion of an issue that is literally tearing our nation apart at the seams.
That's it. Tearing us apart at the seamless. The emotional case against Crocs with socks.
This is why we do this. It's where all the best ideas come from.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Janai, be bold. Can you see what we're doing here? We launched Newsix.com with 3 simple self-help articles aimed at new mothers. That series, no matter how you raise your kids, you are ruining their lives forever and annoying the rest of us. Followed up with, you are a bad parent, just admit it. And the third in the series, okay, seriously, how you are raising your kids is ruining the world, was shared over 10,000 times and secured us our very first online Scoldy Award.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say we made some people uncomfortable with that series? Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did, but we moved the important conversations forward. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to say we pushed the needle of progress a little bit. But we can't rest on a shelf full of Scoldies, Janai. We need to bring this new administration to task at every turn.
The new administration? Yes, that's what I was talking about.
We need a snarky name. I mean, really snarky. Kate?
The bad administration.
Nice. Kate?
The sad administration.
I like. How about you, Kate?
Ad suckestration.
Kate?
Ad menstruation. You will hate that.
Ah, good, good. Kate, what do you got?
The Whitey McWhiterson Super Big Shot Mr. Man Funtime Show?
That's it!
Yeah!
Get that down to Roya in graphics. Janai, are you sure Newsix is the right place for you?
It is. I think I have one, Zara.
Let's hear it.
Sitting is the new smoking.
Didn't HuffPo already do that?
Yeah, a puff piece about how a sedentary lifestyle isn't good for you. Tell me something I don't know. But what about secondhand sitting?
Yesterday, I saw some people sitting on a bench downstairs, like right next to the door.
I walk into a room, I see everyone sitting, and I think, oh, I'm gonna sit too. It's insidious.
What about the kids? What about the kids? They're sitting on TV. They're sitting in movies. It's everywhere they look is sitting.
Apparently, some people still think they have the right to sit inside.
Yeah, garbage people.
Yeah. So, it's a new world. Let's just make sure we go after what matters, okay? Let's get out there and make everyone as uncomfortable as we are soon going to be.
Yeah!
Mm-hmm.
Caterpillar's Dilemma by Scott Augustson. Sometimes when I say, I am so sorry, that must have been difficult for you, I give you my raw sympathy. Like a mother bird, I am dropping a worm of sympathy into your mouth. I am rubbing a soothing balm of sympathy into the open wound of your grief. I say all of that kindness, but what I want to say is, really? How awful! Why don't you pull up a chair and tell me everything? Spare me not a single detail. I am not now, nor have I ever been squeamish, not in the least. Tell me, when they cut out your mother's cancer, what else did they remove? Did you get to keep it in a jar? Did you take a selfie with the scar? When your lover left, did he tell you why? Did he make it perfectly clear how unlovable you are? When you said accident, what was it you meant? Automobile? Industrial? Overdose? Did she die at the scene or in an ambulance on the way to False Hope Hospital? Were you secretly glad in a small shabby corner of your small shabby soul when they died? Breathe a sigh of relief at your lightened load? Splurge on a pedicure? Did you wait for Helen the hospice nurse to slip out for a smoke and then help hurry along the hand of death? Was it ugly? Was it expensive? Did you wake up at 3 in the morning, 3 a.m., and just cry? And just out of curiosity, did your father throw all of his left shoes in the trash? Or did he seek to find them a new home, another foot for his sinister sneakers? These unasked questions I don't dare to voice. I'm not gloating. I'm not gleeful. I'm not some buzzard bestride your broken body. Your pain does not entertain me. It isn't your pain at all that fascinates me. It is the change. How did you survive? Why did you survive? Did you survive? I need to know. Because change is coming for me. And I'm at a loss to handle the loss that comes with change. My arms are already full of the grocery bags of life, and people are strapped to my back, and there is a basket balanced on my head. I don't have a hand free to hold the loss. God is always closing doors and then opening windows. But life is not a house, and there is no God. If you go to Facebook on any given day, you will see scoldy box after scoldy box telling you to embrace change. And there is a butterfly, not a real butterfly, a clip art or a JPEG of a butterfly, the very icon of change, as if a caterpillar, tired of crawling about, said, "Yup, it's time," and then climbed into its cocoon for modesty's sake and put on a pair of beautiful fashioned forward wings like you or I might slip on a rhinestone jacket. It doesn't happen that way. Once the cocoon has been spun, the caterpillar's body betrays. It releases enzymes that begin to break down the caterpillar's flesh. It dissolves in what surely must be an agonizing process, like a corrosive shower from within. Only thing, when everything of the old is gone, only once it is but a sticky gray goo, unrecognizable, indistinct. And have I said sticky? Only then can the butterfly be built. The caterpillar never gets to meet the butterfly. And what if, after all that loss and indignity, what emerges is not a gorgeous, magnificent monarch? What if it is a powdery, disgusting moth? It seems to me, when it comes to change, there's 10 ways to go wrong for every right. Who'd take those odds? Only a sucker. So, the hour is late, and I am just going to ask you, who have been dismembered by metamorphosis, rendered unrecognizable by catastrophe, bathed in the swimming pool of sorrow, stripped of everything you thought could never be taken from you, broken to bits, you sit here today, reassembled, smiling. And is that a new new sweater. It looks great on you. You have made it through the tunnel, or so I think. So. My question is, was it worth the price? Was it worth the fuss? There may be no going back. But there is also no obligation to go forward.
Is everyone here?
What's going on, Dr. Vestigial?
Friends, we have a problem.
Nothing that the Vestigial gang can't fix.
That's right. What evil lurks today?
The Vestigial gang. Once regular citizens, they were altered by Dr. Vestigial, who took one useless body part from each of our heroes and, using his genius, enhanced and improved the organs before returning them to their owners. They awoke from their ordinarily routine surgeries as...
Gallivanting gallbladder at your service. Telekinetic tonsils ready for action.
And...
the avenging appendix. Look out!
Together they've become a fearless band of superheroes who fight the forces of evil. Today we find our heroes huddled around Dr. Vestigial, who has some alarming news.
It seems that our old nemesis, Metaphoria, has escaped.
Not Metaphoria. I thought she was locked up as a fly in amber.
That's sinister simile. Metaphoria broke free 2 days ago.
But how can you be sure?
Turn your eyes to the screen on the far wall.
We interrupt our regular broadcast to bring you this breaking news report.
Thanks, Stu. I've never seen anything like it. Apparently, the victim, Mr. Bob Smith, was driving along when he was cut off by another car. A witness heard him yelling, "I had the right-of-way, you jerk," and then... can you tell us what happened next?
Then he honked and yelled, "Oh, I'm boiling mad." And then he was literally boiling.
And there you have it, straight from an eyewitness. Mr. Bob Smith has died of boiling madness at the scene. Now back to you.
That sounds just like Metaphoria.
This just in, a man on Cowell Street was sitting down to watch the game.
All he said was, "I just want to be a couch potato today."
We are unable to show you the graphic images of root vegetables resulting from this.
Sounds like she's getting around.
A man at the First National Bank just got hopping mad at the teller, and he's crashed his head through the ceiling.
Rumors are swirling that the evil villain Metaphoria might be behind these attacks. Stay tuned for the latest updates.
We have to stop her.
And fast. Vestigial gang, it's up to you.
But how? Metaphoria always outsmarts us.
We've got the brawn of our enhanced vestigial organs. If only we also had the brains.
There's no time for wishing now and no time to waste.
Never fear. I'll douse her with my bionic bile.
I'll extend my tonsils, hold her in their powerful grip, and give her strep throat.
I'll surround her and make sure she can't escape. I have 25 pieces of old chewing gum just waiting to keep her company.
Ooh. Ew.
Let's go!
Excuse me. Watch it.
Shotgun!
Careful what you say. Excuse me, watch me. Watch out.
Look, over there. Looks like that woman's been crushed by a huge, huge Doberman.
Help!
What happened?
I was just standing here minding my own business, remarking on the weather and
you didn't say.
I said it's raining cats and dogs.
Metaphoria!
It was awful. Ow.
Were you hurt as well?
No, I only got a scratch when this ginger cat fell on me.
Meow.
This pain is my darn wisdom teeth. They've been hurting me for weeks. They're just killing me.
Stop! Don't say it. Your teeth just really hurt, okay?
Okay. Ow.
So, your wisdom teeth hurt, huh?
I don't know why we even have the darn things. We don't need them anyway.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Say, have you ever wanted to be a superhero who fights the powers of evil?
Of course.
Then, this is your lucky day. I can enhance those teeth. They can come out, but they can also go back in. This will only take a second. Right in here.
That hurts.
Numbing agent.
Numbing agent.
Pliers.
Pliers.
They're out. And... they're back in! Now, fellow crime fighters, let me introduce you to... Wizdominant!
Wow, I feel great. In fact, I've never felt smarter. Let's see. I've calculated the various trajectories of Metaphoria. According to my calculation, she is headed...
Yes?
That way.
No!
Yes.
But that's...
on top of the mountain?
The edge of the cliff!
The end of the road!
Yes, we have to hurry.
Hold it right there, Metaphoria.
Oh, it's the Vestigial Gang.
This is the end of the road.
You'll never get me.
Oh, yes, we will.
No way. You're useless.
Not anymore.
I'll get you with my bionic bile.
Oh, gross, gallivanting gallbladder. Take that.
Watch out! She's deflecting my bile back toward us!
Doc!
Whoa!
I'll squeeze you in my tonsils! Take that, Metaphoria!
Get your disgusting telekinetic tonsils off of me!
Get her avenging appendix!
Stand back while I surround her!
Never!
Oh my goodness!
Oh, what is it now?
Oh my! In the sky! It's... I don't believe it!
What? It's nothing.
Nothing? Don't you see it?
All I see is a blanket of clouds.
Aha!
Good one with the blanket! With Dominic!
Keep fighting! She's getting out!
Keep fighting, but watch what you say.
Try as you might, it's really hard to stop saying metaphors.
What do you mean?
Well, once you get going, you just can't stop. It's a
what?
Oh, good grief, it's a slippery slope.
Gotcha!
Curse you! Vestigial Gang!
Watch out for that sea at the bottom!
There's no sea down here?
Ah, it's very sad!
Oh, don't be so dramatic!
It's so sad! It's
what? A sea of despair?
Damn it!
Curse you, Vestigial Gang!
You did it!
Yeah, I did.
Welcome to the Vestigial Gang.
Until next time.
Let's hope Sinister Simile doesn't get out.
We'll be as busy as bees if she does.
Oh.
Off the beaten path in Alabama, close to the Mississippi state line, a young boy turned and yelled back into the house. Daddy, you ain't gonna believe this. There's a man in bicycle britches on our porch looking for a place to camp. That was me in the bicycle britches. I've cycled around the world in a whole lot of places. South Africa, Cambodia, Colombia. I pedaled my bicycle in Bosnia when the only other vehicles on the roads were tanks and troop trucks. Yet, when my wife and I announced that we were going to pedal our bikes in the Deep South, our friends and many of our acquaintances announced, "Oh, your most dangerous trip to date." And I realized at that point that I knew more people that had traveled in Southeast Asia and South America than had traveled in the Deep South of the United States of America. Daddy, well, Todd Skinner was his name. His friends call him Skin. And his wife, Kim, came to the door. Todd announced, "I wouldn't let a stray dog camp in that weather," as he looked out at the cold drizzle. Kim showed Kat to the shower while Todd led me out to where we could sleep, his large garage workshop. He stoked a metal barrel-shaped stove to take the chill off while I cleared a space for our mattresses and sleeping bags not far from the stove and near a muddy, knobby, tired ATV. Before supper, we were treated to turkey calling. See, Todd's son was headed out to hunt turkeys the next morning. I didn't know this, but, you know, wild turkeys are quite large. They're huge, but they're actually really hard to hunt. And the best thing to do is to hide in the woods before the sun comes up and call for them and wait for them to come out. Well, Todd's son demonstrated and his friend a bunch of apparatus they had, and one was this incredibly expensive piece of plastic that you put in your mouth, and then you blew and hum at the same time to make the sound of a turkey, while the other was actually a couple of, well, also extremely expensive pieces of wood that you rubbed together, and that made approximately the same sound. And I am standing there thinking, why would anybody spend that kind of money to sound like a turkey and to dress in camouflage in the dawn's early night? While I realized that at that same time, that kid was looking at me and thinking, I don't know why anybody would spend that kind of money on a vehicle that you had to pedal and you had to get up before dawn to get anywhere. Well, after Kat and I had both showered, we spent the evening as guests at their table, eating the best deer stew east or west of the Mississippi and drinking enormous glasses of sweet tea. Todd was raised not far down the road by a daddy who quit work every year come hunting season. He's taken up his daddy's passion, hunting and running deer with his 11 Walker hounds. He's a granddaddy at 37 years old and works with his wife Kim at the paper mill 30 miles away. His sister is as mean as a snake, he'll tell you, but she'll do anything for you if she likes you. His world revolves around his family, his land, and the woods. But he's most alive when he's out in those woods, stalking a deer with a bow or listening for his hounds. I looked across that table and I thought to myself, we are as different as night and day. I mean, he lives in the country, I live in the city. He voted for George, I voted for Al. He hunts for deer, I hunt for discounts at the grocery store. He drives a 2-ton pickup truck, I ride a 25-pound bike. In our everyday lives, we never meet. Yet there we were telling stories and laughing around the dinner table. Dinner broke up about 9 p.m. Kat and I headed out of the garage to hit the sack, and Todd and Kim climbed in their truck to hit the road to arrive at the mill for their night shift. Jobs are scarce in this small town in Alabama. Most folks drive 60, 100, 200 miles round trip to get to their jobs. Before Todd left, he took me aside and he says, "It's fixin' to rain all day tomorrow, and you don't need to be riding those bicycles. You stay as long as you want. Your guests here." We snuggled up in our sleeping bags, close to the warm glow of the stove. At 5 a.m., I opened my eyes as my dream-clogged brain tried to piece together where I was. Rain pounding on a tin roof, the smell of hay and grease, the swaying silhouettes of Bradford pear trees through a workshop window, the yelp of a Walker hound. I was deep in the deep south. Todd and Kim arrived back home around 9 a.m., inviting us in for breakfast, and then they went to bed. But not before Kim fixed us up with more coffee and sandwiches for lunch. We spent a cold, drizzly day in our makeshift guest house reading, writing letters, and relishing the simple pleasure of being cozy and warm and dry. Our routine established, we came in later for another home-cooked supper and swapped stories until Todd and Kim left for the mill. The next morning brought partially cloudy skies and no rain, and we packed up our panniers somewhat reluctantly, and we went in for breakfast. And after we'd had our fill of pancakes, I went out with Todd out to the workshop. He'd asked me to help him out. He needed some hay put up on the truck to head out for his cows. And I will tell you something. Riding a bicycle is great for your legs, but it does absolutely nothing for your upper body strength. And as I tried to lift one of those bales of hay, I looked up at Todd. I said, Todd, you know, I really think if I'd been born here, I'd been a farmer or a hunter. And he grabbed that bale of hay as if it was nothing. And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, and you know what, Willie? If I'd been born in the city, I'd probably been a bike rider.
The place, Seattle, Washington. The year is 2050. 15 years ago, in the summer of 35, a small local online retailer invents time travel for the sole purpose of being able to deliver packages to their customers before the customers even order them. The technology works, but the return process is thrown into chaos. When customers, instead of returning items they don't want, simply don't order them in the first place. This creates several tears in the fabric of space-time, warping whole neighborhoods and creating our fair city's most famous landmark, the Lenin Troll Needle. Time travel is swiftly outlawed by the Sissy Pants Anti-Innovation City Council. And you all know the rest. When time travel is outlawed, only outlaws will travel through time. That's where I come in. I'm what they call a doc. When someone makes a temporal sidestep and screws something up, I make it all better. With the help of my young apprentice, Miss Molly Mercer, we make sure the history of Seattle stays in line and on time. The past can be a rowdy place, and besides, we'd all hate it if things turned out differently, wouldn't we?
This week on Doc and Mercer, The Viaductine Follies by Elizabeth Heffron.
Marla!
You rang?
Yes, what time is it?
Searching. 2 minutes after the last time you asked.
Very funny. Where the blazes could she be?
Traffic on the Trumpway is stage 4 red, sir.
Well, nothing holds Molly Mercer back from a time travel assignment. Locate her GPS position, won't you?
Located. She's parking. She'll be right here.
Doc, I'm here. Sorry I'm late.
Thank God you made it.
What's the wrinkle this time?
It's that old speed demon, Willie the Wheel Wear.
You don't say. I thought we'd poked his spoke after that last Pronto bike share uprising.
Well, looks like he's back in the quantum saddle, Molly, and rolling straight for us.
Alert, big alarm, temporal waves approaching.
Whoa. What's happening?
Hang on.
Is this an earthquake?
Not exactly, something far worse. How big was that one, Marla?
6.3 on the Richter.
It's that Weir fellow. That do-gooder keeps traveling back and trying to make this town more livable. We've got to find him and reverse the damage.
But, Doc, don't we want...
No, Molly, even good intentions can cause big headaches in the future. That wasn't an earthquake, it's a metaphysical recalibration. By God, the city of Seattle is ripping itself away from the rest of the state.
But why would we want to stop that?
Quick, right, Molly, we gotta catch the wheel before he strikes again.
What year, Doc?
1948. Fire away.
Ladies first.
The floor recognizes our new Department of Highways Director, William Budge.
Mayor, all I can say is Railroad Avenue is an absolute disaster. Trains, trucks, cars, fish. It's gridlock, I tell ya.
Look, where you been, Budge? It's 1948. We already built the seawall. Now that street's called Alaskan Way.
Just blend in with the crowd, Molly.
Easy for you to say, they're all men.
Pull your cap down and look constipated.
Oh, wait, I see Madame Seance over in the corner. Let's go stand by her.
We can't leave it to the Seattle process. We've got to get off our duffs and do something about this situation now.
Yeah. Quiet down. So what do all you whiz kids have in mind?
I have just the solution.
Paul Theory, you have the floor.
Let's build a tunnel.
Why do all you smarty pants architects always float the weirdest ideas?
But it would be a super highway under the city.
They shot that turkey in 1911.
A bunch of commie nutsos on the council back then. Mayor, I say we're Americans. We deserve something big and blocky.
Yeah!
Something that says we won the gosh darn war, so just see if you can stop us.
Something that will carry 110,000 vehicles a day.
Yeah!
Yes, yes, but what?
Boys, what we need is... a viaduct. Viaduct, 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 viaduct.
Ooh, big word coming from that cowboy city engineer, Ralph Fink.
What the hell's a viaduct?
A streamlined, double-decker, elevated highway that would run high above the muck and squalor of the city. Ooh. Madam Seance, I see you there in the back. Madam Seance, should we proceed with this viaduct? What do you see for our future?
Let me ask the cards.
I object. This is no way to evaluate public policy.
Yeah, sit down, Paul. Why do all you architects have to be such wet noodles?
I see... a glorious opening ceremony in April 1953 with vintage cars. And Mayor Pomeroy is there.
Hey, that's me, riding on that float.
And, oh, the Zephyr Queen.
Oh, hello. Hi, everybody. Wow, it's pretty darn high up here.
I see Ivar Haglund, Flounder of Ivars, and the King of the Waterfront.
Keep clam, everybody.
And, what's this? The legendary dog sled musher Leonard Seppala in a sled pulled by 8 Alaskan Huskies.
Mush! Yes, yes, I am famous enough to be standing on this viaduct. It was me who rushed the diphtheria serum to Nome in 1925. I bring you now a giant pair of fake scissors.
He hands the scissors to the Seafair Queen for the ribbon-cutting ceremony, and the mayor says a few words.
This viaduct will lead to even greater things. Perhaps one day to one-way streets and more.
The Seafair Queen snips the ribbon across the roadway. And the vintage cars rumble off down the viaduct. all I see.
This whole deal is completely half-baked.
I move we pull the trigger on this concrete miracle!
Yay! Uh-oh, Doc. Looks like we miscalculated. This all seems to be matching the history books.
Patience, Molly. I believe I hear the wheel approaching now.
What the heck?
Daisy, Daisy, give me our answer, do. Gosh, oh wow, I think I got here in time.
Sir, what is the meaning of this?
Mayor, sir, and all of you awesome people of Seattle, I beg you to reconsider this next step you take.
Oh boy, here he goes.
I mean, if you really think about it, we here in Seattle have the opportunity to be on the cusp of something incredible, something multimodal and extreme.
What the heck is this guy talking about?
Did you know that right now, in 1948, 56% of all the people who work downtown take public transportation? Did you know that? I mean, that's like, wow.
Yeah. So?
That's like astounding. That's like, in the foreseeable future, you could lead the nation towards an environmentally green and awesomely pristine landscape. But you go and you build the big ugly, because that's what it's going to be called, and you won't see those commuter numbers again in your lifetimes or mine.
I told them about the tunnel, Willie.
I mean, look at me, would you? I'm riding around on a miracle on two wheels. The last innocent form of transportation. Heck, it's good for you. It's good for the environment.
Keeps your appetite up. People eat more clams.
Could bring in more tourists, Mayor.
Gosh, he's persuasive, Doc. I kind of wish
No, don't let him get under your skin, Molly. Next time he wheels by us, we grab and transport. Well, here he comes.
Gosh, like, just imagine what the waterfront would look like.
Now,
if we
Molly!
Just...
Yeah!
Ow! Ah! Oh, gosh. Why did you have to pull me out now? I almost had them.
Exactly. You know very well, Willie, that too much enlightenment leads to enlightenment poisoning.
We're having awful metaphysical recalibrations in 2050.
The city is pulling itself away from the state. Now, you can't be messing with the past like that.
But I can't stand by and watch people make the same mistakes over and over. Please, don't take me back to 2050. I gotta try and help.
Doc, I've got an idea.
That's worth considering. All right, Molly, as being we're working on our gender equity in our working relationship, we'll try it your way.
Yes. Mr. Weir, if you really want to change something, we're going to drop you off here.
Here? Where's here?
Make America great again! Make America great again!
Oh, wow, I don't know. I don't know if even a bicycle could fix
Farewell,
that.
Farewell, Willie the Wheel!
Do whatever cyclic magic you can.
Donald, Donald, give me your answer true.
Approaching 2050.
Well, Molly, another future averted. Nice work.
Yeah.
Hey, what's wrong, kid?
I don't know, Doc. Sometimes I wonder if the wrinkle would be better than...
Than what? Where we are? That way lies madness, Molly. Who are we to change the fate of mankind?
But someone like Willie almost did it.
Well, you never know. Maybe we'll actually get there on our own.
Maybe, Doc.
That's the spirit. Now, come on. Let's go over to Dick's and get a McLemore burger and fries.
All right. But we scan your arm this time.
Absolutely. Still need a tie to get in that place? My treat!
Thanks for streaming this episode of Speakers Forum from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. Sandbox Radio is produced and directed by Leslie Law and Richard Zeiman. New and Improved was performed at ACT Theater on December 30th, 2016. Their next one-night-only show, In Like a Lion, is coming up on Monday, March 6th at Town Hall Seattle. Tune in again soon.